Chapter 20. Seth's stomach burned so much his vision blurred. They sat at the kitchen table, him, June, Megan, and Lucy's husband, passing food and chatting as if there was nothing wrong, as if no one had tried to take his wife and child from him just a few hours ago. Outside, the storm raged. At least that fit his mood. As he passed more meatballs to June, pregnancy had turned her into a devout carnivore. He replayed the ambush from earlier in his head. If Lucy hadn't been there, if Oshiro hadn't caught the bullets meant for Seth, a rush of nausea made him shiver.
Seth, are you okay?
June asked, her fingers tapping the back of his hand. He blinked back to life, wondering how much of the conversation he missed. Rolling his hand over, he intertwined his fingers with hers and squeezed.
Fine, thanks.
Just my stomach. He couldn't look her in the eye with the lie. Seemed like he was doomed to leave behind a legacy of lies. More than lies. Sins. Sins of commission and sins of omission. So many that some days he looked in the mirror and thought it right and just that he was dying. But even a dying sinner had the right to protect his family. That single thought kept him going. He pushed back his chair and stood.
I'll be right back.
Nick watched him stumble toward the archway that led to the living room.
I think there might be some antacids in the medicine cabinet.
Seth nodded his thanks and lurched down the hall. Stomach acid played chopsticks racing up and down from his chest to his throat and mouth and back again. But he didn't go to the bathroom at the end of the hall. Instead, he went back to the bedroom where they'd been earlier. He sank onto the bed and buried his head in his hands. Lucy had wondered why Daddy would target him now, when he was already dying. Not fast enough to suit Daddy, obviously, especially not with Seth closing in on him. A few tattered gasps here, a word or two there, but hopefully it would soon be enough to lead him to Daddy. He just needed a little more time. But Daddy knew Seth was getting close, was worried Seth might find him before he could end Seth, so he'd set the trap with the ultrasound, knowing Seth would run with June. They both knew Seth could no longer protect her, was as good as useless, dead or alive. How did the bastard always stay one step ahead of them? Megan's phone, with its bright purple case and rhinestone-studded Eiffel Tower, beckoned from where it sat on its charger. Maybe he should just ask. As he reached across the nightstand for it, he spotted something in the partially open drawer below. A gleam of metal. He slid the door open. A revolver. Seth lifted the gun free, fully loaded from the weight. Short barrel, not too heavy. Good thing, because his hands were so weak, he could barely grip doorknobs and turn them properly. The symptoms were escalating. If the doctors were right, he didn't have long. This could be his last chance. He shoved the gun in his jacket pocket. It made the fabric bulge, but that was okay. He wouldn't need to hide it for long. Couldn't risk getting his phone from the car to see if there were any new messages. Or a plan began to form. Maybe he could, but not here. He used Megan's phone to access his cell account online. Nothing new, just the same untraceable message sent via an auto-repeater that hounded him every hour of every day for the past 5 months. They're mine, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. The words were burned into Seth's soul. Hands trembling, he pocketed the cell. This ended tonight. He returned to the living room. The keys to the car Lucy had driven them in, that silly yellow thing, were on the buffet that stood against the half wall separating the kitchen from the living room. He leaned against it, looking at June as if it was the last time he'd ever see her again. If he did this right, it would be.
I'm going to sit on the porch for a few minutes, get some fresh air, he said as his fingers curled around the keys, gripping them tight.
June looked up.
You sure you're okay?
I'll be fine. Long day is all. If you want me to pick up any medicine or anything when I run to the store, the list is right there, Nick said.
No thanks, I'm good.
He forced a smile for June, and was rewarded with one in return.
God, she was amazing.
She had no earthly idea how strong she was, but he did. She'd be okay. She had to be.
Go ahead, he said, still smiling. You can have my meatballs. You know you want them.
Not me, the baby,
she replied as she speared one from his plate.
She's ravenous.
She took a bite.
These are so good. Do you think your Grams would mind you sharing the recipe with me?
She asked Megan, leaning toward her as if they were conspiring.
She taught me how to make them. I'll teach you.
Oh, the baby kicked. Wanna feel?
June guided Megan's hand to her belly. She was going to make such a wonderful mother. Seth blinked hard, pushed away, and turned his back on them, crossing the room to grab his coat. They were the most difficult 9 steps he'd ever taken.
Bring some wood in if you don't mind, Nick called.
Seth nodded. He slid into his coat and opened the door.
The porch sheltered the house from the brunt of the wind.
But beyond it, trees bowed, their branches whipping back and forth. It took everything he had not to look around as he closed the door. He crossed the porch, ignoring the stack of wood at the other end, ran down the steps, and into the storm.